And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Join Pastor Karen Wee Damilola Gabriel of Menorah School of the Spirit World as he heralds the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom and intimacy with the Godhead. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. We hallow you, Lord. We magnify your majesty. Fame and wealth may come, kingdoms will rise and will fall, but you are my desire, you are my desire, Lord. Fame and wealth may come, kingdoms will rise and will fall, but you are my desire, you are my desire, Lord. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, I choose you over everything, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, I choose you over everything. Over everything, Jesus. Fame and wealth may come, kingdoms will rise and will fall, but you are my desire, you are my desire, Lord. Fame and wealth may come, kingdoms will rise and will fall, but you are my desire, you are my desire, Lord. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Lord, I choose you over everything, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you are just joining us, please share the broadcast online, on site. Let's share the broadcast. We are going to have a swell time with Abba today. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Lord. I choose you over everything, Jesus. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. God bless everyone. We thank God for another privilege to be gathered in His presence. It's the ninth day. It's the ninth day. And God has been so good to us. His mercies endureth forever. So we appreciate God. We trust the Lord that He will come through to us via His word again. He came through yesterday. And so we trust Him to bless us via His word so mightily. We're looking at a higher plane of consciousness. Yesterday, I said to us that the Lord ministered to me and says that the life of the supernatural is a life that is connected to an higher plane of consciousness. It therefore means that the level of God's consciousness that you allow will determine the level of your supernatural flow. The level of God's consciousness that you allow will determine the level of your supernatural flow. You cannot flow within the operations of the supernatural except to the degree that you permit God's consciousness. The degree that you permit God's consciousness in your heart will determine the possibilities of supernatural expression. Supernatural expression is tied to the high plane of God's consciousness in your thought pattern, in your reason or reasoning capacity. Hallelujah. So we must understand this, just like I was explaining to us so mightily and in detail last night. And so tonight we are going to continue in that progression. And please open your spirit, open your heart. Wherever you are listening from, you are right here, you are at home. I want to crave our indulgences, that we open our spirit in order that we might go home with the bounties of God's communication to us in this meeting. Alright, so we were talking about one of the agents that shut down supernatural flow, and we were able to identify one important agent that shut down the flow of supernatural possibilities. And one of such that we saw from the book of 2 Kings was the agent called fear. Fear. And I said to us that one of the agents that shuts down how the supernatural finds expression in the life of the believer is fear. Fear cages the flow of the supernatural. God is not impotent. God is as potent as ever. God is powerful. God is mighty in His expressions, in His dealings. God is amazing. However, it is practically possible that the flow of God's reality can be caged, can be stalled, can be stuck, can become stagnated. God can be limited. Hallelujah. Not because He is limited, not because He is not unlimited, but because man decides to limit Him. You know, the Bible says to us that they limited the only one of Israel. They limited the only one of Israel. That's amazing. And that's what we should think about. That it's possible that as powerful as God is, as potent as His supernatural flow is, it is practically possible that men come to the place that God can be limited. Not because God is limited, but man, as an agent, can decide to limit God. And one of the things that man can engage in that would maximally limit the flow of God is that agent called fear. And so, if you are going to operate in the supernatural, we must necessarily bring to the state of moribund, bring to the state of death, what we call fear, right? So, the Bible says to us in 2 Kings chapter 6, just like we were reading yesterday, and he answered, verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Hallelujah. Alright, you could see how they were salvaged from the encirclement, from the compassing. Hallelujah. From the siege. Are you following me now? From the siege. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Alright, so they were salvaged from that encirclement, right? From that siege, by a mystery, and is the mystery of higher consciousness. By a mystery of open eyes, open sight, the higher consciousness. What happened at that place was that Elisha was able to bring his servant into an heightened level of consciousness in order that he would see. In order that he would see. And so on the basis of that consciousness, he was able to see. So I said to us that if you are going to operate in the realms of the supernatural, we must explore the heightenedness or the heightened conscious realm. And it's the realm of God. The realm that we come into by the gateways of our thoughts. Are you following me now? By the gateways of our what? Of our thoughts. Because when God was speaking in Isaiah 55, verse 8 or so, he says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So the operations of God are first stemmed from the realm of thoughts. Are you following me now? In the realm of the spirit, what is obtainable is thought patterns. It's not words, as it were. In the realm of the spirit, everything is communicated by thoughts. It's communicated by knowledge. I told you what we call cardiognosis, heart knowledge, or telepathy. They call it telepathy here. Are you following me now? Science call it, they call it a sense radio. Are you following me now? They call it sense radio, telepathy. But in the realm of the spirit, the communications of God are downloaded first by thought. It is when thought transmitted that it becomes words in this realm. Are you following me now? Everything that God was going to do was first conceived before they were spoken. Are you following me now? So there's first a preconception. That was what James was showing us in James chapter 1 from verse 12. Let's look into that. Let's look into James chapter 1. I just want to show us a principle, this same principle. How is obtainable? Okay? James 1, I think from verse 12.
Let's start from verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived. So lust is not first an expression. Lust is first a spiritual thing, because it is a preconception. What has been preconceived? Do you understand it? You don't find a man lusting naturally without first the preconception of lust. It means that lust begins in the spirit. It begins from your thought realm first. And it's a powerful mystery. It is the same mystery that also created everything that we see and we don't see. Because first, God conceived the reality that he spoke. They first came from his thought realm. Because in the realm of the spirit, it is thought that is obtainable. Are you following me now? So, if you are going to walk with God, your thought pattern must be reasoned to the thought patterns of God. You must begin to reason the same way that God will reason. You must begin to think the same way that God will think. Hallelujah. So that's what we are dealing with today. And we started yesterday. It says, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Where and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Are you seeing the formula? Hallelujah. So it is not first sin. It is first your conception. It is first your conception. You will notice that this is a mystery that cut across every human living. Before a woman gives birth, she must first conceive. Are we together now? So it is what she conceived that she birthed forth. Jesus, speaking a mystery to us, he says, it is not what enters into a man that defiles that man, but it is what comes out of that man. And it was said to us that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good fruit, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil fruit, right? He says, but do not marvel that I say unto you that every idle word that a man speaks, he shall account for it on the day of judgment. And he says in the next verse, verse 37, that, let me open that place, let's read it. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 35. I think it's better we read it. 12 from verse 35. I think it's better we read it so we can all be on the same page. A good man out of the good treasure of the earth bringeth forth good things. Now you see where you bring forth good things. Not first a physical reality. It's from your heart. Your conscious realm. Your conceptual realm. Where you conceive. Are you following me now? A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Look at the progression. It is not first word. It is first your act, your conception. Please get it. That where you conceive what you speak is in your heart. So Jesus was showing us the formula that is not first your words. It is what you conceive in your heart that you speak. Just the same way that it says that out with your heart you believe unto righteousness, right? But with your mouth. That's why even your salvation must first be believed in your heart before you speak them. What your heart has not conceived, what your heart has not precipitated, if you speak them, they negate the content of your heart. Are you following me now? So you must understand that what you call words, the origin is in your thought realm. The origin is in your heart. What you call words. Are you following me now? If you have not conceived it, you cannot speak it. Nobody speaks carelessly. You speak the content of your heart. Nobody speaks carelessly. You said, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You conceived it before you spoke it. Are you following me now? If you say that it was by mistake, as it were, what you spoke actually was a gate that your heart already unlocked. Are you following me now? So there's what you call heart to mouth connection. That it is whatever you conceived in your heart that your mouth speaks. Please give me 2 Corinthians 4:13. We are still coming back here. We are coming back here. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Now I just want to try to show you that this mystery is what is consistent with scriptures. If you are just joining us, please share it. Invite friends and family. We are going to be blessed. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Now look at this. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed. Where do you believe? In your heart. I believed and therefore have I spoken. You don't first speak without believing. Do you understand? I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. It's consistent with scriptures. Consistent with the word. That the origin of your word is traceable to the content of your heart. Are you getting that? So go back to, I just wanted to show us this. Matthew. So it began with the heart and says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By what? Your words. But don't forget where this progression is coming from. It's coming from where? From your heart. Listen, let me show you this. Before you speak at all, God knows what you want to speak. You know why? Because he deals with your thoughts. So before your words proceed out of your mouth, he already is aware of your thoughts. He knows what exactly you want to say. That's why the way God deals with us is by thoughts. It's a thought-to-thought communication. Heart-to-heart communication. Are you following me now? So, God knows that you can speak what your heart negates. That what your heart didn't agree with, your mouth can say it. So that if God says to you that my daughter, I'm going to bless you tomorrow. You can shout amen, but in your heart, you said, how can this be possible? It is that thing that God read. He didn't read your word, he read your heart. Are you following me now? So our problem in the supernatural is that our heart, our thought, is not aligning with the higher plane of consciousness that God intends to communicate with our heart. Do you understand it? We need our heart to be augmented, our consciousness to come in contact, to come in sync with the same way that God thinks, that God communicates, that God reasons. So that when we speak with our mouth, we do not speak what negates our thoughts. Are we getting this in very clearly? I said this humorously, that you know it's practically possible that somebody says, Papa, I celebrate you, sir. And the person is even bending. Alright? But in his heart, he is standing. You are only seeing action. You are not seeing the heart. That it's possible that someone is prostrating physically, but in his heart, he is standing tall. Says, who is he? Is it because we are just trying to honor him? Even that alone is a stronghold in your heart. But every man saw your action, but only God sees your heart. That's why it says that men look at the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, I look at the heart. That's also a teaching in the prophetic school. God was teaching Prophet Samuel that reality, because he was the one that God spoke that word to. Samuel has been prophesying for long, but this day God had to show him another dimension of a prophetic. Because when he saw Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, he said, surely these ones are the anointed of the Lord. Why? Because the Bible explicitly told us that because of their stature. Alright? He was prophesying based on sight, based on stature, based on what he saw. But God began to show him that the prophetic goes beyond what your eye gate can capture. Alright? The prophetic school begins from knowing the content of the heart. Because I, the Lord, I deal with your heart. I deal with the scroll upon your heart, with content upon your heart. What is written upon your heart is what I maximally deal with. Before someone dresses in an unmannered way, the person would have thought that we killed them today. Are you following me now? The person would have thought, a lady would have thought that today I will show them. So it is not first the dressing. It is first your thoughts. What it was that thought that encourages that dressing. And so if we are going to maximize our operations with God, especially if it is the dealings of the supernatural, our thought pattern must correlate, must be synchronized with heaven's thoughts. There must be accurate and acute synchrony with the thoughts of God. We must please understand this. So when it says my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, please give me Isaiah 55 from verse 8. I think so. Let's also read that. I do not want to assume that people know everything. So, oh, beautiful. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And please notice that it was in plural. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. It means that number one, God has his thoughts. Number two, that God has his ways. Are you following me now? Please, give me Ecclesiastes 11. I hope I'm right. Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 4. Okay, beautiful. Verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. Don't forget, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Now, it's showing us here that there is the way of the Spirit. No, you see, scriptures interpret scriptures. So there's what we call the way of the Spirit. And you remember Jesus speaking emphatically by himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he says, as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. The word, the works of God, is also a substitute for the way of God. Are you aware of that? The ways of God are the works of God, the patterns of God. Yeah. Now, I just came here to show you that God has his ways, and man also has his ways. We must understand this. So God is saying to us that my own ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's do that again. I'm still coming back here. Let's do Proverbs 3. Yeah. Now listen from verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. It means that we have our own understanding. In all thy ways, not in all his ways, in all our own ways. He says, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge him here means that in all our own ways, we should acknowledge his own ways. So that we don't lean onto our understanding. You might be thinking one, and God is thinking 100. So you must learn how to allow that your thought will be enraptured by the thought of God. Your ways will be overshadowed by the ways of God. He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And until then, there will not be direction. Your direction is traceable to the acknowledgement of God's ways. It is when you acknowledge him that he directs your path. You know, the Bible says, it is not given to a man to direct his ways. You have your ways, but it's not given to you to direct it. Listen. Thank you, Lord. Give me Isaiah 35. I'm sorry. Isaiah 35. You have your ways, but it's not given to you. The way God wired you, listen to me, is that even though you have your ways, it's not given to you to direct your ways. This is because there's one that knows better than you. He has the advantage of age. I said that yesterday. He's the ancient of days. That he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what will come tomorrow. He knows what will come in the next minute. But you don't know. You don't have access to that except by the Spirit. Because it's the Holy Ghost that searches the depth of God. Yea, the deep things in God. But the truth is, you are still human. So it means you have limitation. You can't know everything that will happen in 1 minute, in every minute. That's the truth. No matter how spiritual you are, the truth is, if you say you know everything that happens in each second, in each minute, then you are claiming you are God. That is only given to God, not to man. Man can't know everything. Even when we transit into eternity, we still have limitation. Because we continue to learn God. We don't know all things. Except by the advantage of the Spirit. And it begins to show us in bits and in fragments. Do you understand it? Even in eternity. Don't say, if I go to eternity, I would. No. Even in eternity, you will continue to learn God. You can't know all of God. Let's start from verse 10. Oh, Jesus. No, go up. Verse 8. Beautiful. It's okay. An highway. We are talking about ways, right? An highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way, not a way of holiness. If we don't have a way of holiness, we only have the way of holiness. It's definite. It means that what you call holiness cannot be found anywhere else except in the way. Do you understand it? That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 65, that all our own righteousnesses, they are like filthy rags. You don't have righteousness. You don't have holiness. Except you come into the way. Hello? The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be found there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Where? In that way. The way of God, the way of the Spirit. And so it says that you must acknowledge that way. You see, I'm telling you how your thoughts can begin to align with the thought of God, how you can come into an higher plane of consciousness. Higher plane of consciousness. Higher plane of consciousness. Isaiah 55. Inaimaka, inaimaka, imaka sujada, inaimaka, imaka. Imaka sujada, ina imaka, imaka, imaka sujada, ina imaka, imaka, imaka sujada. Say, Lord, I give you,
I give you,
I give you the highest. Lord, I give you,
I give you,
I give you the highest. Lord, I give you,
I give you,
I give you the highest. Praise. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth.
Higher.
So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Look, can you come to a place of calculation that you calculate the distance between heaven and earth? Now, if God could compare that with the contrast between his ways and the ways of men, that as the heavens are higher than the earth, hallelujah, it's good that you say that you are the new creation, and his ways are our ways, and his thoughts are our thoughts. But the truth is, practically speaking, in experience, you know that the thought of God is still farther than the way you think. Isn't it? You are the new creation, truly. But God can say to you that I will bring waters out of the wilderness. And your thought will say, how is that possible? Because you are still human. Do you understand? It will take not a coercion. I don't want to use that word, coercion. It will take alignment for you to perpetually sign up into the way that God communicates, into the way that God speaks, the way that God reasons, the way that God inspires, the way that God brings his reality. It will take alignment. And that's why as believers, we must pay the price of alignment, so that we can be co-opted into the ways of God. We pay the price of alignment. We pay the price of alignment. Pay attention. How then do you come into that kind of consciousness? Because I've been telling you that we must allow our consciousness to come into an higher sphere, an higher plane of operation, so that we can begin to think exactly like God thinks. So how then do we begin to come into that kind of reality where our ways now looks exactly like the ways of God, where our thoughts now looks exactly like the thought of God, where every time God speaks, we do not doubt his voice? Do you understand? One of such ways, and the primary way, is that your thought pattern must align with the word of God. Your thought pattern must align with the word of God. You see, can I tell you something? One important thing that God does to us to bring us into what you call subserviency, to make you a puppet in his hand, to make you, I don't want to use the word slave, to bring you to the state of servanthood, is that he causes you first to believe his word. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that God does, is that he for you to come to the to a place of subserviency, the place of becoming a puppet in his hand, is that he will ensure that you believe his word. See, what you call the word of God is a supernatural register, a supernatural reality. The word of God is not encomium. The word of God is not newsletter. What you call scriptures are the compendium of supernatural writs. Supernatural writs is an holy writ. So when God wants to bring you to a place of supernatural experience, the very first thing he introduces to you is his word. That's the first thing. You are introduced to his word because he knows that when you believe his word, your life can command supernatural expressions. When you believe his words, your life can command supernatural flow. You find out that every man that operated in the supernatural, they were commanders of God's word. Littered all over scriptures, every man that God used in commanding the supernatural, were commanders of God's word. Every one of them were in charge by the word. They first believed the word and they began to use the word as a tool of supernatural operations. Imagine that Abraham came from a lineage called the Ur of the Chaldeans or the Ur of Chaldees. In this lineage that Abraham came from, they were spiritualists. Okay? Did you get that? Not spiritually as in divine, but demonic. In this lineage that Abraham came from, they were worshippers of idol. They were stargazers. Please pay attention. In fact, that's one of the reasons why when God wanted to communicate with Abraham in Genesis 15, he had to use the star. Abraham was used to it. His father, Terah, was an high priest. So when Abraham was doubting the voice of God as fortune giving him a child in his old age, God said, come, in Genesis 15, he said, go outside. Go and look at the stars. If you can count the number of them, so shall your seed be. He was used to that kind of communication. So imagine that Abraham came from that lineage. And when God was going to accost Abraham, one important thing that God introduced to him was his word. Abraham, get out of your father's house and your mother's house, out of your kindred. Are you following me now? And go to a place that I will show you. How do you know this place that I will show you? You will know it by my word. As you journey on, I'll keep speaking to you. Because God must introduce you to his word. There's nothing you will do as a supernatural being outside the window of God's word. The word of God is a supernatural tool of expression. The word of God is a supernatural tool of what? Of expression. If you are going to find any expression at all as a believer, the word of God must be at the fore. It must be at the front line, at the cutting edge, at the vanguard of your heart. The word of God must be what controls your entire system. That's the way you can reason like God. That's the way you can think like God. That's the way you can operate exactly like God. The word of God must be littered all over your heart. Littered everywhere. It must be splattered upon your heart. The word of God. Nobody enjoys the supernatural outside the flow of God's word. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody enjoys the supernatural as long as it's communicated from the word. You know, the way the man in Christ journeys, he journeys by the word. The word of God is a light unto my path, right? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? So it means that as you are journeying, it says the word of God is what lightens your path. So that, you see, listen, let me explain this. We are in a dark world. Okay, please get it very clearly. That this world we are in is a dark world. It is so because there is a God of this system. And the Bible calls him Satan. There is no light in Satan. There is a way Satan regulates this atmosphere. He regulates by dark powers. Are you following me now? He regulates this environment by dark powers. So, what Satan institutes everywhere he gets to, he institutes what we call darkness. Are we together now? This environment is regulated by Satan by what? By dark powers. He is the custodian of darkness. I think I will have to show you a scripture. Are we ready? I think I will have to show you a scripture. First Thessalonians if you are ready, let me know. Okay. I think we are going to look at verse chapter 5.
Inaimaka. Imaka, imaka sujada, ina imaka, imaka, imaka sujada, ina imaka, imaka.
From verse 1. Alright, beautiful. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Pay attention. You know, this is what it's trying to say. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. But the truth is that this world, the system of this world, is decorated by darkness. Why? Because of the God of this world. The Bible calls the devil the God of this world. It means that the God of the system, not the entire cosmic environment, is talking about the system that governs the world. But the cosmic environment can be lighted by the sons of God, by the light that we carry. Because the Bible says, as long as you are in this world, You are the light of the world. The same way that Jesus is the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right? The reason why your light has to shine is because we are in a darkly world. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So we are in the environment where darkness is ruling and reigning supreme. And we must bring our light in order that our light will become supreme over the possibility of darkness. There will be supremacy of light. There will be superimposition of light against all odds, against darkly powers. Everywhere that the devil has instituted any form of darkness is our onus, our responsibility to bring light into that place. Every sector, every sphere, the sons of God must bring their light. So it says, we, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, ye are all madakosi alia. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not the children of the night. You know, Jesus speaking, he says, if a man walks in the day, he does not stumble. But the man that walks at night stumbles. So he says, we are not the children of the night. Notice he says, the night, not a night. This is a person. Oh my, I'm coming. Nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, be sober. Of the day here means who are of the light. Be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It says, in the beginning, not from the beginning. Amen. You know, there's a difference between in the beginning. Moses couldn't boast that he knows everything from the beginning. You know, I can easily say that. From the beginning, Gideon, I know his beginning. Do you understand it? But if I say in the beginning, it means that I just came somewhere. I don't have access to what happened before. So he now says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. The reason why light came was because darkness arrived, and the glory of darkness is what? The glory of light, sorry, is darkness. The availability of light is the disengagement of darkness. The availability of darkness is the glory of light. That darkness is available means that light can glory. Light doesn't shine in light. Light shines in darkness. Jesus spoke that very clearly. He says, what is your light if it only shines in darkness? Your light should shine in darkness. What is your light if it only shines in light? Sorry. Your light should shine where? In darkness. So it means that the believer doesn't run from darkness. The believer runs to darkness. Are you following me now? He runs to it. Why is he running to darkness? So that he will dispel darkness. He will outsmart and outwit darkness. Do you understand? So they told you that the problem is your house. that the witches in your house are too many, so you must pack out. Are you following me now? You are not here. I was saying to them, where I was preaching recently, I think my brother was there. They said, you should move away from your house. What if you are incapacitated? There's no money for another rent. So you assume that witches has, they have more authority over you. Do you understand it? You see people parking from where they are selling. They said because market doesn't sell here. Where's your light? It's a different thing if it was God who spoke to you to leave. To leave your house or to leave your shop. But as long as you are there and God has not spoken, your light must shine in that place. Because your purpose of existence is that you bring light to where darkness is. Your glory is in darkness. Ah! Are you following me now? Wait, let's look at Isaiah 60. I think I just love that scripture so well. Isaiah 60. I give you the highest. I give you.
I give you.
I give you.
I give you,
I give you the highest. Lord, I give you.
I give you.
I give you the highest praise. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, please pay attention, because we don't pay attention to this side. The only reason why it says you arise and shine is because there was the availability of darkness. We only stop here. No, the reason why it says arise, shine, is because darkness has covered the earth. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Listen to me. Two kinds of category. Darkness can cover the earth. Darkness can also cover people. Hello? Darkness covers the earth. It also covers people, right? 2 Corinthians 4. Sorry, hope you are not angry. We are consulting a lot of scriptures. We are Bible students, so we must look at a scriptures after scriptures to establish our faith. 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who are those that cover that darkness covered here? The people, right? I'm just trying to show you that it's possible that darkness covers the people. It doesn't just cover the earth. In the same vein, the presence of God can cover the earth and also cover the people. I'm saying to you that it's possible that the presence of God governs in a place, in a territory. It's possible, sir. The presence of God is not just in men. Right? It can also be around. I know Bible scholars will say that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. That's the truth. He doesn't. He dwells in men. But there's an overflowing presence that can be contained in places. In places. I was showing us in Acts chapter 2, before the presence filled the people, it first filled the place. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says the place where they were praying was shaking. Not the people. The people weren't shaking. It was the place. There's an overflowing presence, sir. There is. If you make your way to our fellowship ground when we're on campus, right? Even if you are not there, your prayer will be answered. Are you following me? Because wherever you tarry long to host the presence of God becomes a sacred groove. It becomes an environment that hosts immortality. There are places that can be immortalized. That was what happened to Jacob. The encounter of his grandfather already immortalized that place for encounters. So when he got to the place and he took a pillow to rest, he also bumped into an encounter. Why? Because that place had become a sacred environment. An environment consecrated to host the immortals. And that's because everywhere God touches down, even though God lives, hosts will stay. That's why it's called the Lord of Hosts. That was why in that place, you notice that what Jacob saw was angels ascending and descending. He didn't find God there exactly. He found God on top of the ladder. But God left, but his host remained. The same way that when Jesus left, he left the tomb, but the host remained. When he left, they still met two angels. Are you following me now? Everywhere God touches down, the host is called the Lord of Hosts. So the truth is, there are angels that can stay in places. They are angelic beings that are the principal, they are the governing administrator of galaxies, of realms in God. And I don't have time to show you some of those things. What you call the sun, you call the star, they are entities who are custodian of those realities. They are the one who are the gates of them. Are you following me now? If you go back to our teachings during the lockdown, I explained some of these things to us. So you just think you are seeing stars in the air. You don't know that sometimes when somebody dies, his star leaves. Sorry. They said a star is gone. How did they locate Jesus? By his star. They were looking at him by his star. Every one of us, we have our star. There's one song we used to sing. Awa siti ri ra wore la wo so mo. Awa ti wa lati fun ebun. Foba tabiloni. Kere si mesi. Kere si mesi de. Kere si mesi de. Abi olugbala kan fun wa. Mi lu Bethlehem, eni ti o joba aye, aye raye, awa si ti ri rawo re, lawo so mo, awa si wa lati fun ebun. Fo ba ta bilon. Now, when the Lord said to Abraham, he says, look at the stars. He says, so shall that your seed be. So it means that God is saying that for Maneko, Irua Dambe. For you who understand, you. You say, people. Hey. Do you understand? Those people you call stargazer, what do you think they are doing? They look into you. You are there. If you read that scripture, it says is star, specific, not stars, is star. That's why they also call angels morning stars. They are angels for individuals, they are also called stars. Are we together? See, there are mysteries though. We just decided not to be saying Are you following me now? They are manipulating it, stargazers. But what they are manipulating as is authenticity in God. For example, I know somebody, when we were in school, she was my assistant. When she looks at your hand, every time she's in the spirit, she'll be interpreting each of these lines. I tell you the truth. It's not somebody far. And yet, you also have palm readers. They call it palmistry. They read your palms. What there is a manipulative dimension of the reality. They are manipulating it. Hallelujah. We are the real custodians of these things. We are the custodian of truth. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus forevermore. You know, we are in a season in the body of Christ that people, they have wielded the supernatural to demonic entities. You know, the people we call true man of God now are those who only teach. They don't really have attacks. But when you begin to see people who do supernatural things, we amplify their case as though the supernatural is meant for the devil. They said this one cannot be God. Of course, we know there are people who are dabbling into diabolical realities. But the truth is, when we don't show them the original, the counterfeit will last. So how do we displace the counterfeit? We plunge into the original. We show them the true God of the Bible. That God still does miracles. He still does signs and wonders. Hallelujah. See, me, I believe in miracles. I believe in the supernatural. I truly believe. On our miracle service, somebody was with a patient. We got the message, the testimony after the meeting. And while they were in the, maybe hospital was aware, but she was with a patient. Okay, I think you are aware, right? The healing power entered there. The person wasn't with us. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, O God. Can we bless him? Just give him praise. Pray in 1 minute. Kalabarodo Shahambia Posia. Wherever you are, you are listening to us. Pray in 1 minute. Kela barabako sahande boko shata. Manda baraku sile barahada la boko shata la baradiata. Manto praki la barusia tabole kande. Pela barabaku shatana mandeko pela vazia tabu. Kabra kisko pala barakatum bele katambes. Rabada bala badaku sila barakadule bere kotash. Rakuta brande kabara diala kapara dua sikle gerusia. Gabretek kala baraku pala diala pata la pala bala kaposhi ala dange. Ratuku pele gede gele baraku sila barakatala barakala baraki ala bante. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that I intend to do by God is to open up our hearts for the incredible. That we believe God for anything. You know, every time I look into scriptures and I see the mysterious act of God, I check our generation how that we do not see this kind of flows anymore. When we check our fathers, you know, I began to read some of these fathers. I began to read some of them who are patriarchs. I was seeing the level of intimacy that they sustained, so much so that some of them were hosting angels. Some of them were hosting saints in their homes. Before things happen, saints will come to communicate with them. One of these groups that touched depth in God, one day they were praying, and as they were praying, the presence was so intense that literally, the people who saw who had insight into what happened, who saw it, recorded it also, is that literally angels were coming down from heaven with pillars of light. They came and touched down, praying. Do you understand? You talk that in our day, said you are lying. Say, it doesn't happen again. Our hearts are not open. That's the problem. It's not because God is impotent, but because we have shut down supernatural realities by the condition of our hearts. So I was saying to us in the beginning that if you are going to touch depth in God, your heart must be in alignment with that heart of God, with the thought of God, with the nature of God. You must believe God for the impossible. I wonder how people could come to a point that they will say that it is Peter's angel at the door. What kind of thing is that? If they were not used to it, how could they say it was Peter's angel? They even trusted the angel of Peter more than Peter. Don't you get that Rhoda was saying to them that it's Peter? I said, no, it is angel. They trusted that the angel can come first before Peter. So it means that to them, angelic encounters is not revelation. It's norm. It's a norm. Wait, why do you think the writer of Hebrews says that? Some of you, give me Hebrews chapter 13. You have entertained angels unawares. So it means that all around us, we have them around. It's not everybody that is a man, no. Please be careful. It's not everybody. I told you of my experience some years ago. I will never forget in my life. I was at Ogba. And so a man came to me and demanded for arms. You know, we are in Lagos. We don't know the real. So that's why our discernment must come alive. So I just thought this is one of them. And so when the man came, I didn't respond. I just went my way. But it was less than 1 minute. When the Lord ministered to me, that's not an ordinary man, that's an angel. I heard it clearly. I turned back. It's not up to 60 seconds. I turned back to go and give the man something. I didn't see the man again. Since that day, I've been conscious. I don't just walk anyhow. And so one day, I was around gate and I wanted to board a napping. A woman was coming. I sighted that from afar. The only available space was the space at the front. So the Holy Ghost ministered to me. You know, I don't know how it came, but what I know is that I heard that I should go and sit down at that space and allow this woman to sit at the back. And not just that, to also pay for her. So I said, mommy, come and sit at the back. Before she paid, I paid. And the woman said, do you know me? I said, no, ma. Something happened. Is that I was hearing prayers I've never heard in my life. Listen, it's not people were in the on the bus in the napping. And you know, if it were to be an ordinary thing, maybe when we get down or later, but she was declaring those words. While everyone was there. And when I heard the content, I didn't know how she knew that I was a man of God. Please, it's not everybody that is. Those things I said in Yoruba, I would have loved to share them with you, some of them. Not all. Because some are, they are depth I can't share. So I walk with my spirit alive that this earth realm that we are, angels walk with us. I don't have time to give you categories of angels. There are angels who are permanently here. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. This was the insight that Abraham had. That when he saw three men coming, see, it was normal. Angels ate food. They ate mortal food. They didn't say, don't worry. We are not eating, we are full. No, they said, it is on the strength of that food that proclamation came. Say, where is your wife? By this time, next, according to the time of life, even though Sarah laughed, but food entered. That food already entered, the decree cannot be changed. It's the decree of the watchers. There's the decree of the watchers. I'm sure you are aware. Go and ask Daniel. The decree of the watchers. They are watchmen, that their words doesn't fall to the ground. It doesn't. But that ministry came on the strength of entertainment, on the strength of giving, on the strength of sacrifice. There are words that proceed out of a mouth of a man of God when things enter. Are you following me now? It's the truth. No man of God will say that he doesn't know what I'm teaching. No man of God. It's not because of stomach infrastructure. It's honor. Glory to God. So you must allow your thought realm, to come alive in synchrony, in alignment with the thought of God. And I said to you that one important way that God introduces men to the supernatural realm is via His Word. Is via His Word. And he also sets you within the boundaries of his word. Please pay attention to that. Because in our day and time, people are now delving into extra biblical operations. That's where the problem comes in, is that God first introduces his word to you and also sets you within the boundaries of his word, so that you don't go outside that conclave. You remain within the boundaries of his word. There are people who are not through with reading the 66th book of the Bible. They are not through. Even when we get into eternity, you can't exhaust the 66. And so you see people who are saying that there are extra books to read. Numbers is boring to you. But you can read Meshalala. I don't know where. Are you following me now? Deuteronomy is boring for you to read. But you are looking for how Enoch translated the book of Enoch. The Bible is already canonized, and it's within the boundary of 66 books. There are reasons why they didn't put others. There are reasons. Those who collected the scriptures, they collected for about 1,500 years. So imagine that they didn't put other books. There must be a reason. Some of those books were found in the rock. The book of Peter, it was found later on, and they found it in the rock. Yet it was worthy enough to be included in the canon. So God set your boundaries within what? Within the compendium of scriptures. So that, see, the 66th book is enough for you to know all that you need to know about God. Amen. The 66th book is enough for you to know all you need to know about God. It's enough. Say God is bigger than. Yes, we know it's big. But he inspired men to put up those books together. And that's what is handed over to us officially. As an holy writ. Officially. You know, there are many books where people are gathering names now. All manner of names. Somebody was chatting me up some few days ago, I think 3 days ago, and he began to mention some names to me. He said, Where did we get these names from in a fold? Okay. I said, well, me, there's a place I grew, and I'm not aware of these names. He began to list them. Not because he is confused also. Maybe he's exposed to that kind of sect where they do all of those. And I said to him, I said, well, in my own understanding, those were angelic names. And they were trapped by the encounters of men. Just the same way that Abraham encountered some angels. Right? And I don't have time to work these things out. I hope you are aware that Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah this and that, they were the names of angels. Are you following me now? Who were those people encountered? They encountered angels. They encountered angels. So when the Bible now says for us that a name has been given unto us that is above every other name, every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every other name, including all of those names that you saw in the Old Testament, are you following me? They were just, let me put it this way, so that we don't get confused. In the Old Testament, there were angels who stood as representative of God. They were called ranking angels. So the name that they used to seal them are the names that we think, or we call the names of God. Are you following me now? But primarily, even though those angels are locked up in God, they are actually just the same way you have Michael, you have Gabriel, you have this. Those are the two I know. Are you following me now? At least that the scripture wrote to us officially. Glory to God. Okay, maybe let me expand on this. Because of those who are listening to us, let me teach you well about it. Give me Acts chapter 7. No, I need to show you the people that they met in the Old Testament. Right? I need to show you. Because don't forget, the Bible told us that no man has seen God before. No man. And the person who said it was Jesus. So let's settle that we believe only Jesus, right? In the Old Testament, they told us that Moses met with God. But when Jesus came, Jesus says, no man has seen God before. Who do you believe, Moses or God? Or Jesus, sorry. Who do you believe? They told us that Elijah went to heaven. But the Bible says that no man can come to the Father except by me. Jesus said it by himself. So it means that it wasn't heaven that Elijah went. Because nobody could have gone to heaven without Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So in the Old Testament, there were translation errors. The same way the Bible says that a lying spirit from God. And the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't lie. And it says a lying spirit from God. So there are translation errors. That's why you must understand the new covenant before you can interpret the old. Are you following me now? We've got to understand scriptures. That's why we are having a lot of biblical and wrong interpretation, assumptions as it were. Because we are not an ardent student of the world. We don't compare scriptures with scriptures. Acts chapter 7. Right? This is he from verse 38 for those who are listening to us. Acts 7:38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel. With the angel. The Old Testament told us that God. But the New told us that with the angel. Who did Moses meet in the burning bush? The angel. It was the angel. It was the angel that came into the burning bush. That's why the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. Because the kind of fire is not from here. The fire is from another realm. So nothing from there can burn here. Do you understand it? I'm still going to look beyond this, okay? Okay, we start from verse 30, right? And when 40 years was expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. Where did Moses receive the law? Mount Sinai. But in the Old Testament, the Bible said that God, it was God who gave him the law. In the Old. But in the New, he began to see, the Old the New Testament is the explanation of the Old Testament. The New Testament is the revelation of the Old Testament. Are you following me now? You will not give accurate interpretation to any revelation in the Old without the lens of the New. The New Testament is the accurate perspective, is the accurate lens and insight into the concealed revelation in the Old. So, revelation in the Old lies concealed, but in the New lies revealed. And when 40 years was expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. But if you read Exodus 3, it says that Moses encountered God, but it was an angel he encountered. It says that bush that was burning was an angel. Hello. The bush that was burning, that was not consumed, was what? An angel. Not God. We are coming. I will use this one to wrap up. I have to explain this thing in details. In details. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers. Go ahead, please. The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and doth not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Who was speaking here? The angel, but was representing God. Do you understand it? But the person that was speaking was an angel. One of the reasons is because the Old Testament was the administration of angels all through. We are going to see that in Galatians 3 and verse 19. Please, let's consult all this thing. Let's finish this thing by fire. Amen. The confusion will die. Galatians 3, verse 19. We are going back to that place, please. But let's read here first. Wherefore then serveth the law? Please help me also prepare Amplify to so that people can understand. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come. Who is this seed? Don't forget. Jesus, right? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Who is that mediator? Moses. Moses was the mediator in the Old Testament. So the law, all the speakings that he heard were from angels. Are you following me now? Please give me Amplify. Let's do Amplify. Oh, Calabarosia. And you know, the problem we now have is that you are saying to yourself that is it possible for an angel to do something that God didn't send the angel? Yes, it's possible. It's in scriptures. Because I'm saying, but you said angels. But yes, it's possible. You know why? Because angels also have their own will. Oh God. Let's read this first before we now go back to check. I will show you. Is this Amplified? Why then the law was what? What was its purpose? Is it I'm not saying? Why then the law? What was its purpose? It was added after the promise to Abraham to reveal to people their guilt because of transgressions. That is, to make people conscious of their sinfulness of sin, the law was ordained through angels and delivered to Israel by the hand of a mediator. So when the Bible says that God wrote the law, it was an angel that wrote it. Hello? The law that Moses broke, it was an angel who wrote it. Are you following me now? Okay. Now, I want to start with this. Also to understand something. If it was not possible for angels to do their will, then the devil will still be with God. Not just the devil. And with the host, they will still be... You see, angels were also wired to... They have their own will. When God sent Gabriel to Zechariah, right? In Luke's Gospel chapter 1, what God sent Gabriel to do was to deliver that they were going to give birth to a son called John. The moment Zechariah queried Gabriel, Gabriel said, "You are talking to me, I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel." And on his own volition and stature in God, he says to Zechariah that you shall be deaf and you shall be dumb until... It was not God who sent him that one. Yet he did it by himself. He made him dumb. So angels can do what God didn't send them. If you have read some encounters, you would have seen angels who encounter men and they are playing with their dogs. It was not God who said play with the dogs. It was his will that he used to play with dogs. You have heard of angels, encounters of angels who come and help in assisting in house chores. Right? It was not God who sent them to do that. Oh, Marcosia. By their own will. So angels, listen to me. Please get these things very clearly. The only restrictions on the angels that we have in God now is that they cannot insurrect. The ones that will rebel, already rebel. The ones with God now, they can't rebel. But yet, they have their will. Are you getting blessed? Alright, I said I was going to finish this thing, right? Go back to that place. Acts 7. Acts chapter 7. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made you a ruler?" Please go to verse 38. This is he, that's Moses, right? This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel who spoke to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles. This is the law, lively oracles, to give unto us, to whom our fathers. Please rush to verse 50. Please go up first. Let me see. Okay. Okay. I think it's okay. Let's just read from verse 45. Wait. Go. Hallelujah. Okay. Right, let's start from verse 45. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house, albeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet, verse 49. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, said the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and yes, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which should before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been? Ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law. This is what I'm coming to. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. At least this makes it very clear. Our fathers, they received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Right? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So it means that he's referring to something here. When he says the things which we have heard. This means that this is a continuation of something. What's that continuation? Hebrews chapter 1. Carbonaya. Let's finish this thing. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Please, you will see what is happening here. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Spake unto the fathers by, he says, at sundry times and in diverse manners. One of these diverse manners is through angels. Another one is through the Urim and the Thummim. Right? He says those were the way God spoke in those days. As in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son. Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, he's showing us a contrast between the speakings of the old and the speakings of the new. Right? It's not because angels don't speak any longer, but they only speak within the lens of the Son. Do you understand it? And the Son is who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his presence, and upholding all things by the word of his power, which he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Please rush down to maybe verse 8. Verse 7. Verse 6. Okay. Let's start from verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time. Now, please, you need to understand this. That the writer of Hebrews is comparing the communication of angels. These are two dispensations here. It's about the Old Testament and the New. And it's comparing the speakings of angels to the speakings of the New, which is the Son of God. That now he communicates through his Son. He now says, which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, so it means that it was not everything that the angels said in the Old Testament that we can trust. Because they are not sons. Oh God. Do you understand it? They are not sons. No angel has the DNA of God. Because they were not born by God. They were only created by God. Man left that realm of creation and came into the realm of begotten. Since man became begotten, he left that realm of angels. Angels are only created. They are not begotten. They don't carry the DNA of God. They don't have eternal life. Are you following me now? They will live forever, but they don't have eternal. Eternal life means that God gave birth to you. You are the offsprings of God. Angels can't be born again. That's what I'm saying. It's as I'm teaching, they are listening to the gospel. Are you following me now? They are listening to me. I'm teaching them good. I'm showing them light. The Bible says they desire to look into these things. They desire, it's a desire. They are desiring. As I'm talking, they say, wow, he's teaching good. Are you following me now? So they are not sons. So it means that the word that we can trust is the word of the son. The word that we can trust is the word of the son. It's not even the word of Moses. It's not the word of angels. It's not the word of Elijah. Every one of them, they added their sentiments. They added their emotions. Some of them were angry people. They were angry. They are angry angels. Oh, you are not aware. So they added their own thing. So when Jesus came, you saw Jesus began to balance Moses. Said, Moses said, but me I say. Moses said, but me I say. Are you following me now? So it is not everything that was said that is correct. At a point, they caught a woman in adultery. And they came to Jesus and said, according to Moses, he says that we can stone her to death. But Jesus knelt down, began to write on the floor, and says, you know what? He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone. And the Bible says to us that from the highest, from the highest to the least, they all began to live one by one. Alright, and the Bible says Jesus looked up and said, where are your adversaries? He said, they are all gone. They are gone. But Moses said to them that you killed the person. Moses said, he said, suffer not the witch to live. Moses was the one who said it. Please, we need to see. Let's go back and read the Old Testament well. The thing that we can trust was only the Ten Commandments, because God has not marginalized on those things. They are still consistent with our day. Yes, everything in the Ten Commandments, they are still consistent. God has not relegated on you honoring your father and your mother. God didn't say you should go and steal now. So the Ten Commandments is still part and parcel of us. Are you following me now? I told you, if you have read this law very well, when they were carrying the Ark of Covenant, every other season and something law that Moses wrote, he kept it in the Ark. What he wrote, not what God said to him, what he wrote. Oh. He said, you have heard that Moses said, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. But me, I say, love your enemies. Do good unto them that revile you. Who do we trust? Jesus is the center of all reality. Please, let's get back to that place. For unto which of the angels said he at any time? So it means that either in the Old Testament or in the New, it says, said it at any time, that thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So God was saying to us that I was not the one who gave birth to angels. I only created them. This is what God is saying here. I just help you to interpret it. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So it says that I'm not the father of angels. No, are you reading yourself? No, I don't like when people are looking at that. Yes, it's He is not the father of angels. He fathers us. He fathers the new creation. He fathers the new man in Christ. So that's why we can call him Abba Father. My daddy, that's the literal meaning. My daddy. When you hear Abba Father, it means my daddy. So you can say, my daddy, your baby is singing. I will be singing and chanting and shouting for the rest of eternity. You are my daddy. Your son is singing. I will be singing and dancing and chanting for the rest of eternity. Only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you.
Only you.
Only you are Lord.
Till the end, only you.
Till the end, only you.
Only you.
Say only you are Lord. La 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 la.
Say, you are my daddy.
Damilola is singing. Hey, cool. Glory to God. I am born of God. I am born of God. God, I'm the offspring of God. I am the look-alike of God. I look just like him. Angels cannot claim that. They can't.
Yes, sir.
They can't.
Hey.
Kabalako sila baratiata. Kebarako sabalatiata. Kepotoko pelida bosiata. That's why angels were created for the ears of salvation. For the ears of salvation. Kebanako sepre guda habalatobiandi. Zekunde protombe. Papara poto pele ke poria gadaba la toke brandi. Aria ko peria zoziati. Rapo ko pete pele ko dobre hila gapalia. Papra toko pete te pere do shila bala 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 bala. Hai ko pele ke pere do sia la bati. Hai kande bo sili pere ke te le boro kotolia de. Prago do breke te le boro bo shata. Thank you, Lord. And again, you know, God just expanded my theology again as I'm teaching. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. He just taught me something. He said to me that did I realize that those names that they mentioned, Jehovah Adonai, they were the names of experiences. He just taught me that now. He just said that to me. So, because Abraham encountered the provider, he now said Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. He was the one who said it. They are product, just like you are saying, God is good to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And again, verse 6 of Hebrews. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, Kabalodosia. You know, I could teach over and over on these things. I just love it. I love it. When he bringeth in the... You see, you know why we have to... Our understanding has to be accurate. It's because for us to operate in the supernatural, we need accurate understanding of the scriptures. When you know, it will be easy for you. Living will not be hard. Because you have accurate... There's a way you relate with your God on the basis of the revelation of God that you have. You relate with him as father and son, not as a distant man or an angry vampire. I am born of God. I have the nature of God on my inside. The DNA of God is on my inside. Please follow me. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. So who are angels worshiping? Man. I showed you yesterday. The man, Christ Jesus. So by default, because they are worshiping man, they are also created for us.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand it?
Yes, sir.
Because they are worshiping Jesus, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. They also work for us. The same way they are working for Jesus, they work for us as a man. Verse 7, and of the angels, it says, who maketh his angel spirit and his minister? It's not the minister of the gospel. Because we use this one for ministers of the gospel. And his minister said, he's talking about angels. Angels are ministering spirits. They are ministering, so he's still repeating. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. For thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou shalt remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth as garment, as doth a garment, and as a vessel. Shall thou fold, I don't have time to explain this place, okay? And as a vessel shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy See, please, follow me. If you can, heaven and the earth, they have ears. Heaven and the earth. You know why? Because heaven was created. So it means that it has calculation. But God is outside them. God doesn't have years. He has the advantage of longevity. He is ancient. You can't say the time that God began. Are you following me now? So the Bible says that heaven will fold, and they will be folded as a vesture. But thou, God, you remain. You remain. You remain the same. Yesterday and today forever. You remain the same. Yesterday and today, forever, you remain the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, you remain the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, you remain the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. So it says that even if the elements of the world melt away, God remains the same. Are you following me now? Okay. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, you remain the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, ever. Yesterday, today, and forever, you remain the same. Yesterday and today, forever, you remain the same. I'm coming because of our time. I love the cancer. The next verse, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand? See, God is trying to put angels in their place. What they did in the Old Testament is enough. Otito, that's the word. Otito. So God is now putting them in their place. That you are not the one ruling. You ruled under the old. But now, power is changing hands. Power must change hands. It has changed hands. Until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Are they not all? He now puts them in their place. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Glory to God. He now puts them in their place. That look at the new creation. You are created to serve them, to minister unto them. So it was on the strength of this that he now says in chapter 2, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, that now our power has changed hand. Do you get it? Is it clear to you now? You see the danger of reading scriptures without context? Now that we read it contextually, you understood, right? He says we must give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any, we should not allow it to sleep. We must hold tight to it, that now we are the new creation, that now Jesus has been set on the right hand of God, and all the enemies are under his feet. Now listen, where I'm coming to. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gift of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing context? This is the same context with which he says, but now we see Jesus. Let's read on. But one in a certain place testified, that's David, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the Elohim. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and this set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see. I see Jesus seated on the throne. I pay homage to the Lamb of God. I see Jesus seated on the throne. I pay homage to the Lamb of God. Say, I see Jesus.
I see Jesus.
I pay
homage
to the Lamb of God. I see Jesus, oh, seated on the throne. I pay homage to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus achieved. And so we can't compare the ministry of angels to the ministry of Jesus. The administration of angels, it was called the administration of death. They were slaughtering like anything. One angel came in one day, slaughtered 185,000 people. Have you forgotten? 185,000. The administration of death to the administration of life. Thank you, Father. That's why the law was called 2 Corinthians 3. No, we can't do that today. It says, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Right? Now, the Bible says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Say, we are in glory. The ministration of the Spirit is rather glorious. Hallelujah. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. So it means that the one that we thought was glory, was glorious, wasn't glorious. Why? Because of the reason of the glory that excelleth. This glory excelled that one that we thought was glorious. That glory was just the tip of an iceberg. The real glory has come. It's the glory of the new covenant. Are you following me now? For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not separately look into the face, the end of that which was abolished. I think I was teaching this on your platform some time ago. Yes? Ah. Okay. Rush down to the last verse. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Listen, the word from glory to glory here is not that you are moving from glory to glory to glory. No, it says that you are leaving the glory of Moses. You are coming to the glory of Christ. You left the glory of Moses, you came into the glory of Christ. So it's not saying the believer is moving from glory to glory to glory. No! He said that now you are in glory. You left the glory of Moses and you came into the glory of Christ. That's why it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. I see Jesus seated on the throne. I pay homage to the Lamb of God. I see Jesus seated on the throne. I pay homage to the Lamb of God. I see you.
I see Jesus
seated on the throne. I pay homage to the Lamb of God. I see you. Kila manelo ro na na na. Abaya kila dabu salabaya. Oh na na ne o. Confession: I am in the company of the God class. I live in the supernatural clan. I do things natural supernaturally. And things supernatural naturally. I have rule and authority over sin. Death, sickness, and poverty. Immortality and supernaturality are my reality. Even in my mortality, no one can talk about the supernatural. I am completely supernatural. Shout, I am complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We believe you have been greatly blessed. To connect with us more, follow us on our social media platforms at Menorah SOS on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also join us live every first and last Saturday of the month on Facebook and MixLR at Menorah-SOS. Thank you for listening.